Bar Shalom, everyone.
Bar Shalom.
Well, I tell you what, this has been an exciting time. Just getting into our feast day this year, and it's already we're seeing God do amazing stuff. And let me tell you, we just got to keep pushing toward what He gives us prophetic. One thing about the prophetic, God can give a word prophetically, but it don't affect your life if you go in the opposite way. You have to go toward the prophetic. And I witnessed that because when the Lord gave me the prophecy about the glory, we didn't flee from it. We dove in all the way, and He opened up our understanding to things that we never dreamed possible. It wasn't even on our radar at the time, but we was asking God, if something missing, something we need, what is it? And He delivered, He did His part. But if we'd have done nothing, if we'd have stayed just doing what we were doing, being saved, going to church, and doing what we was doing, we wouldn't be sitting right here where we're at. And we needed this journey that we're on right now. We needed it because it's enhancing our relationship with Him, and we're recognizing how incredible He is. And the wonders of Jehovah is absolutely amazing. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, but this has been what's been happening for me. You can be busy as all you can be. There's stuff going on, you're busy. But the moment you open your mouth to give Him praise, instantly He's there. And you know exactly what to pray. You know exactly who to pray for. And it's just like the prayers are flow. And I tell you what, that's been my experience. And so I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to open up yourself to the Lord through this time. So here we are on our Shabbat day, and we're on Torah portion number 30. Again, this was a double portion, but Akrimot, and then we have Kodeshim. Kodeshim was a double Torah portion, but we split it up for the simple reasons. We want to try to get each one of them touched on a little bit. And so far, I'm liking it a lot. We're leaving some stuff on the table, and we're still leaving stuff on the table, but I believe what we need to get this year, we're going to get. We won't be delayed, it won't be held back. He's going to unfold it and deliver it to us. We just got to receive it. How many know a receiving is an act of your own will? Not God's will, your will. You got a will to receive. You got to want to receive. You got to put yourself in a position to receive. And that's important. Receive is an act of your will. And so if you put yourself in a position where you're ready to receive from Jehovah, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pray more. You're going to study more. You're going to attend more. You're going to make sure that you attend because you're putting yourself in a position to receive from Him. That's what that is. And so even when you don't feel like you're going to do it, even when all odds are against you, things are going wrong, and there's stuff happening on every side, you're still going to press in. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to receive. You're going to receive regardless. And let me tell you, sometimes you got to fight for it. Some of the greatest receivers in the sports industry, you know why they're good? They fight for the ball. They fight for it. They don't just jump up and if they get it, they get it. Or if they hit the clip, they hit the clip. They work hard. They work real hard. And they make sure they fight for it. And they become the greatest. Well, if you want to become great in the kingdom of God, you're gonna obey His commands. You're going to guard His right rulings. And you're going to put forth the effort to receive what He has for you. And how many know that Jehovah has something for each one of us tonight? Yes. Each one of us He has something for, and we want to receive that. But this Kedeshim is Hebrew for set apart ones. Everybody say Kedeshim.
Kedeshim.
And is it in the plural?
Yes.
How do we know it's in the plural?
Eem.
The Eem. Everybody say the Eem.
Eem.
We know it's in the plural, so He's talking about set apart ones. So we're set apart ones. I mean, I believe that. Amen. I didn't get one amen, but I believe
amen.
It.
Amen.
So we have the Torah, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 through 20, verse 27. So two chapters, which we'll get a little bit into 19 tonight, and we'll see how far we can get in the next two services. Then we have the half Torah, Amos 9, 7 through 15, Ezekiel 22, 1 through 19. Anybody read that Ezekiel 22?
Amen.
Some powerful stuff in there.
Amen.
Topics in the portion. In this week's school portion, the portion of Kedoshim begins with the statement, "You shall be holy, for Yehovah your Elohim is holy." He's holy. Very important. This is followed by dozens of mitzvot, divine commands, through which Israel sanctifies him or herself and relates to the holiness of Yehovah. And so we're going to see these principles, these characters of God. God, he's a God that is set apart. And if he's set apart, we should be set apart. So I want you to think about this. In the beginning, when God made man, he made man, and within man was both male and female. And he was trying to teach man how to be set apart. So he places the garden there for him, and there's trees in the garden that's good for food, trees to be desired, and he can eat of the trees. He told him you can have, but this one right here, I don't want you to touch this one. And so, without this tree, some people say, well, I put the tree there to begin with. Well, we're not in a position to question God. But if I had to take a guess at it, how does he know when he just created wants to be set apart like he is? So he puts something there in order to check where man's at. And so, then he creates woman for man. And that tree's still sitting there. Now, this whole time before he creates woman, Adam understands that I'm not going to touch it. He's doing fine. And then it got a little lax because he added a partner in the relationship. Now, he's got all he had before was who? Yehovah. That's all he had. Now he's got somebody with him, and now he's being checked. He's listening to Yehovah. Up to this point, now he's got somebody that's filling a desire that he has other than Yehovah. And he's liking it. He's really liking it. So he's a little lax. He's not paying attention to what's going on. He lets his guard down one bit, and what happens? They start taking what Yehovah said not to take. And they left from set apart. They were set apart up to that point. They were operating at this level that this total portion talks about, but now they're not operating that level. It's over with. Because in this total portion, he talks about mixture. Mixing things. What tree was mixed? The one he said not to touch. That was a mixed tree. He said, don't fool with it. He was teaching them about this. I don't like that, so leave it there. Now it's around us, but we don't have to touch it. So you're in the world, but not of the world. I mean, does that make sense to everybody? We're in it, but not of it. Because we know that Yehovah doesn't like mixture. We're set apart to him. Because he's a set apart God. And so he speaks these terms for us to understand. This includes the prohibition against idolatry, the mitzvah of charity, the principle of equality before the law, Shabbat, sexual morality, honesty and business, honor and awe of one's parents, and the sacredness of life. And also in Kedoshim is the dictum which the great sage Rabbi Akiva called the cardinal principle of Torah, of which Hillel said, "This is the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Love your fellow as yourself." Now, who emphasized this? What other great rabbi emphasized this before Akiva was even born? So this is not something new these guys are spewing out. They understood this was a principle. This is a value. And so when Yeshua was asked, what's the greatest command? What did he say? He quotes the Shema. And then he says, you have to love your neighbor as yourself. This is powerful stuff. Well, how do we learn to do this? And let me tell you, you have to learn to do this. You have to learn to do this. Because When man was created, it was innate. It was in his DNA to do it. The love of God was in his DNA. It was natural to him. There was nothing unnatural about Adam coming to love God. He could love God. It was innate for him to love his wife. And then there was a breakdown between him loving God, loving his wife, and then eating from that tree that he was forbidden and caused mixture. Because that tree had the knowledge of good and evil. You can't mix the two. And there was a breakdown. And so we see this happening. So this door portion is going to cover all those areas for us. So I'll read some of the chapter, and then I'll quit. Because last week I read the whole chapter and made comment on every verse. So I basically did the whole part. But I'm just going to read what I'm going to cover. Maybe. So, in Leviticus 19, verse 1, and Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, be set apart, for I, Yehovah Elohim, am set apart. How incredible is that? He said, I want you to be set apart because I'm set apart. God's character is set apartness. What should be our character? So if we're doing what the world is doing, is that set apartness?
No.
It's not set apartness. So is it going to be different for you, serving and following Yeshua and following His story? Is it going to be different for you? Yes, it will be different. But that's not strange. This is not something that we should be alarmed at. And to Yehovah, it's normal things when you're following Him. Because let me tell you, Yehovah is not your ordinary God. There might be many Elohim, but to us, there's only one Father. So he's distinguished from all others because of His great love He has for His people. And He shows that love over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but He showed it to me. When He should have left me in my own mistake that I chose to make. But He didn't. And so I want to praise Him because he helped me. He helped me through a difficult time when I didn't think I could. Matter of fact, I knew I couldn't get out of it myself. But He helped me through it. And so I want to praise Him. I want to give Him glory and honor. And I want to know His word. I want to know His truth. I don't want to think, listen, when you think you've arrived and there's nothing else for you to know, you just fooled yourself. There's always something you can know. There's always something we can learn. We can learn from each other. And this should be important. We should always, when we wake up in the morning, we should posture ourselves before our Elohim, like, God, whatever you have for me today, I know I need it. Don't have the sense, well, you know, we just had Passover, we had unleavened bread, I'm so full, I can't take nothing no more. Listen, I was full last night, but I sure ain't again today. You better believe it, honey, I wasn't passing my mom's up there, had gumbo left, and I didn't get none last night. So I pulled up, got me a big old bowl of that gumbo, and baptized me some potato salad in, I was straight. And it tasted just as good as last night, and I ate again. And you know what? I always get home after Shabbat service. I tell Sean, I'm a little hungry, so eat light. Give me something light. You know what that means? Fix it yourself. You just don't know, you ain't been married long enough to figure that out, but I know what that means. They got crackers and cheese over there. So, maybe I'm the only one every night after you eat for a while and you want a little something else, right? Well, when you're serving Yehovah, you don't just get it all in one setting. Right. You're gonna, sometimes He gives you, when you can't hardly move from the table, then He piles dessert on it, and you're just feeling the presence of the Lord. Well, guess what? When you wake up the next morning, you want something else. And that should be your desire. Should always be our desire to want more. He's that incredible. So, verse 3, each one of you should fear his mother and his father and guard my Shabbats. I am Yehovah Elohim. Now, he used the word fear there, And that's a reverential fear. It's a respect. It's a weight. It's giving weight to mom and dad. Now, this is assuming something. What is it assuming mom and dad is doing? Following Torah. Don't forget that. There's an assumption here. The assumption is mom and dad is following Torah. And so you give a lot of weight to their teaching and their training and the way they're conducting themselves before Yehovah, and you should follow suit with that. Very important. Now, this is the first promise. This is the first commandment promise. Added to it. How many want your days to be long? They're long. And so, listen, anytime you have parents today, in which we have here, we have parents, and they're in the Torah, that's incredible. They're absolutely incredible. I think about our young kids coming up. They are sitting absolutely in an incredible spot because they're being trained up from a young age. I can only hope and have dreamed to be in a position they're in right now. That's how incredible God is. Listen, plus I want to tell all the moms and dads in here, congratulations for you taking the time and the energy to show them this right now. Because you have no idea what you're storing up for them, mounds and mounds and mounds of wealth. You sow into their life. It's wealth. You couldn't make enough, you couldn't buy enough, you couldn't buy fancy enough to accumulate what you're doing for them right now. You couldn't do it. If you lived two lifetimes, you couldn't do it. When you teach them the Torah. So this is an assumption here. Fear mom and dad because to give all to them, give weight to them, give respect to them, because they're training you in the Torah. This is important. And all of our children should understand the value of what's happening in their life. It's absolutely incredible. Verse number 4, do not turn to idols. And do not make for yourself molded mighty ones. I am Yehovah Elohim. Notice there's a theme here he keeps reminding them. I am Yehovah Elohim. I am Yehovah Elohim. He keeps saying that over and over because he's reminding them, I'm telling you what my set of partners is. I want you to have the same set of partners. He's not asking us to do something different. Be the same as he is. Verse 5, and when you slaughter a slaughtering of peace offering to Yehovah, slaughter it for your acceptance. You got to understand it's not just taking the life. It's not an arbitrary act. Everybody's killing lambs and rams or whatever. It doesn't matter. It does matter to Yehovah. Understand you're doing it for your acceptance. Now, why is he using this term here? Because we don't have Yeshua yet. Now, Yeshua's sacrifice is for our acceptance. But up to this point, they don't have Yeshua, so they have to go through this ritual. Mm-hmm. How many thank God tonight that ritual was over? Amen. We have Yeshua that was slain for all of us for our acceptance.
Amen.
That's why people don't understand. He didn't just die. He didn't just die. It wasn't some random act that happened. He died and people didn't like him, so they put him on a cross. No, he died for our acceptance. Right. That's what he died for, so we can be accepted. We had to be purchased. We couldn't just change our mind, our thoughts, and start a living for the Lord, we had to be redeemed. It cost something for us to come back into relationship with the Most High. It cost something. In our case, it cost Yeshua's life. And I think about, we're about to celebrate the wedding feast, and I think about how incredible it was that he purchased us. We belong to someone else. We were attached to the sin nature forever. No getting out. There was no getting out. And Yeshua bought us. It's like going into the store and you see on the top shelf. And you say, how much that is? Well, this is costly right here. Just to get this, this is the cost of your life. And for him to have humanity back, it cost him his life, and he willingly paid it for us all. Willingly. Because he and his father had such a relationship, he was set apart. Was Yeshua set apart? How did he learn set He had a good teacher. Did he honor his father and mother? Why? They were Torah teachers. He learned the Torah through his father and mother. They prayed for him every day. They loved on him. And his heavenly father, he knew it was his word. He's the one who gave that word. It was his likes and his dislikes. And so he took pleasure in performing the acts that Jehovah asked him to. And because of it, when he died, Jehovah said, I can't leave him dead. There's no way I can leave him dead. He did everything I asked him to do, so I'm gonna do a godly act. I'm gonna act out. I'm about to show off. And it didn't matter how many Roman soldiers were guarding the tomb. It didn't matter how big the stone was in the tomb. None of that mattered. When God raised him, that same spirit that dwelled in him is going to be the same spirit that dwells in us. The same set of partners is in us. And it's the difference maker. Why set of partners? It's the difference maker. Why you go to church on Shabbat? It's the difference maker.
That's right.
Why he keeps Passover instead of Easter? It's the difference maker. Why do you do unleavened bread? I don't understand all that. It's a difference maker. And so, listen, we got to be okay with that. We got to be, you know, it's a difference maker. Why are you going to have first fruit service? Why are you doing that? It's a difference maker. It makes a difference. And it may not make a difference to you right now, but to God it makes a difference. He set this in order, not me. You didn't set it in order. You didn't dictate these scriptures. God dictated these scriptures, and man took the pen to paper and wrote it down by inspiration. You know, folks go around quoting all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. And that's it.
Right.
Did you hear what you just said out of your mouth for? Now let's break it down. I want to know if you believe all that, why aren't you doing it? When you're going to start doing what you just preached to everybody else to do? All scripture. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. What part of all scripture do you start trimming off? We don't do these and we don't do them. They're not all scripture now. You start taking the sword and trimming it off. We don't do this and we don't do that. I want to know who gave you authority to do that.
Amen.
What authority? Whose authority do you have the rights to do that? You're quoting all scripture, but it's really not all scripture because people want to read what they want to read. Live what they want to live. And when you come to Leviticus, folks say, good luck. Because I'm going to write down, that's the Levitical priesthood. Why do you need Leviticus? We don't even have the priesthood no more. But then we go to Peter, we read Peter and say, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We all want that. Who you are? I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. So okay, what you supposed to do as a royal priesthood? Just go to heaven. That's all I want. All I want to do is go to heaven. I'm the royal priesthood. So you're gonna do what you gonna do there? You ever notice they preach heaven so beautiful, they never tell you what you're gonna do there. So you ask somebody, what you gonna do in heaven? I don't know. What's gonna go on there? I don't know. Seeing, you know, if you're gonna be there forever, how do you forever is forever. That's gonna be pretty boring, but I don't know. Eventually you're gonna get tired of not doing nothing. But when you read the text, you find out there's a lot of stuff to do.
Amen. That's right.
He said, I'll give you to rule over 5 cities, 10 cities. So you see how important it is that we start, first of all, learning how to rule this. This is your most easiest and handy, at arm's reach, spot to take care of, right here. Before you start reaching your arms out and pointing your fingers to help somebody else, you got to first take care of this. And when you learn to do that, and you're married, you got a wife, you extend your hands towards your wife, and you work there. And you got children, you extend your hands a little bit farther, and you hug your wife and your children in, and you work in there. And then you eventually can go out to your extended family, and then to your neighbors. How many see how this works? But we have to first learn to make sure that we live a set-apart life ourselves. Before we tell somebody they got to be set-apart. How do we do it? What does it look like? So if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abominable. It is not accepted. He who eats it bears his crookedness because he hath profaned the set apart offering of Jehovah, and that being shall be cut off from his people. Now I might get to verse 8, because that third day really gets some interesting things there, but I'll stop right there, and we'll skip on down to the beginning of it. This week's core portion is called Kedeshim, which means set apart ones. And this is written in the plural form of the root word kadosh, Strong 6918, which means set apart or consecrated. It's kadosh. This week's Torah portion continues with clear instructions for us to be a set apart people, and so the fitting heading for this portion makes clear the direct command from Elohim for us to be set apart as he is set apart. And we now dig further into the instructions of how we are to be set apart people. We have, through the last four portions, learned that we cannot draw near to Elohim any which way we please. How many know we learned that? And be found to be offering strange fires the sons of Aharon did and died. But rather we are to guard the commands, laws, and right rulings in charge of Jehovah, and not do as the nations do. One thing we got to remember, when we are born again, we become children of the Most High. How many can agree with that? When you're born again, you're a child of God now, right? So if we're children of God, why do we conduct ourselves as the world conducts themselves? Why do we do as the nations? He said, I don't want you to do as the nations. So he took them out of the nations. He took them out of Mitzrayim. They went there for a long time. They learned their customs, their ways, their holidays, their festivals. They learned all, they knew that they worshiped. That's what all the plagues represented, a god that they would worship. And God, he struck those gods down. He showed them that you want to worship the beast? I'll kill them all. You want to worship the Nile River? I'll turn it into blood. You want to worship frogs? I'll give you more frogs than you know what to do with. I'll put them in all your I'll put them in your food. I'll put them in your clothes. I'll put them in all your rooms in your house. I'll give you more frogs than you know what to do with. They figured that out quickly. And then they got this idea, we're going to worship Ra. Pharaoh's our God. So God turned his attention to humanity. And he says, if you don't put the blood on your door and get my protection, all your firstborn males will die. And including your beasts will die. They'll all die. Well, God was showing that they might call these guys mighty gods, but he's the Most High. And his glory is so much superior than the glory of all the people that worship. Now listen, in Mitzrayim, when they came time to worship, all the nations bowed to the ground. When Pharaoh would pass by in his chariot, they all had to bow down on the ground as a nation. But Jehovah was showing them that he was so much superior than that, to the fact that he wasn't using magic, he wasn't using witchcraft, he wasn't using all these hocus-pocus games. It was the real deal. And the magicians thought, well, we'll just match what you're doing. They matched a little rod tossing here and there. But when Yehovah started to speak through Moshe, they couldn't compare it to nothing. He said, we don't know how to do it. We have no idea how Moshe is doing this. It must be his God. And they recognized it was not even on the same page. We have to recognize that God is the Most High. There's nothing to compare to him. And he said, I'm set apart. I want you to be set apart, just like I'm set apart. Well, that seems like that's a tall order, doesn't it? You have to understand where we're coming from. We're coming from a life of sin. We're coming from being in his image to losing the image. The image is gone. Outside of being born again, you have no image of God. That's why we live the way we live. That's why we live like there was no God. We all we did was satisfy flesh, flesh. It was all about flesh. Life was just about flesh. About self-gratification, doing what I want. I'm going to be my own man. So you can go to somebody and say, man, you got to quit doing that. It's going to kill you. You got to die someday.
Yep.
You know how many times that's been said?
Yep.
What's the point? You gotta die someday. People can be on oxygen and they're still smoking. They're gonna die one day because they have given up on life. They give up on it turning around for them. So they just accept you're gonna die, so what? They don't understand that when you have a so what and die, death, when you don't have a redeemer to get you out of that, you're in trouble. If Yeshua would have had the same attitude when he's dead, he'd still be dead. But he didn't have that attitude. He said, listen, if I'm going to die, I want to make sure that I know the resurrecting power of the Most High is going to get me out of that grave. That's what he did. He accepted that. So the image was destroyed. Now he's getting the image back. To get the image back, if you don't have his likes and his dislikes, how do you get the image back? You just repeat a prayer, walk out of the office, hope everything's okay? Is that what happens? You don't get the image back by doing that, by repeating a prayer, walking down an aisle. You get the image back by receiving the Father's instructions. Who's giving us instructions? The Father's giving us instructions. He says, these are the things I like. These are the things I dislike. And so, look at it that way. Rather than looking at it as rules and regulations, look at it as the Father's instructions. A loving Father's instructing me on how am I to conduct my life to get the image back that He created me in. But we lost that. So we think saved is just safe. Hopefully you learned by now, living the Torah lifestyle is not about just being saved. It's about engaging in the works of Jehovah, allows Him to use your life the way He intended it to be used. Some of you sitting here at these tables, you have more power that's readily available to you to do great exploits for God if you just realize that when you got saved, He saved all your inabilities and all you don't have no confidence, all the letdowns, that's all gone. You're a strong person. You have the anointing of God on your life. And you can do great exploits for Him. This is what He commands us to do. Sometimes we sit back and we allow the situation of our past to dictate that we really can't do that. We can't talk. We can't say. You have no idea how much power you have sitting right there on the inside of you. When you have set apart spirit in you, you're just as powerful as any person you can point to that you read in the Bible. We have Elijah sitting at these tables. The power worked through Elijah because he realized that I'm born from Yehovah. And he allowed that work to work in him. So when he spoke, he understood. The man's coming to get him, and he already knew what the man's thoughts were. He knew those things. And so, listen, God's wanting you to know that when he's requiring you to be set apart, it's not just to be different. Quit thinking different. Don't think different, think power, authority. Able to pray yourself out of situation rather than, I was trying to call somebody to pray with me. Well, maybe you won't get them on the phone. How about you praying? How about you calling on the name of Jehovah and see getting something done? Because it's on the inside of you. Sometimes we rely a lot on somebody else doing it. And you can't do that. It's inside of you. That's what happens when set apart spirit comes inside of you. And you shall receive power. And you, every one of you, I go to each one, and you shall receive power. And you shall receive power after that set apart spirit has come upon you. It changes your life. It gives you the power. So he's not asking us to do this on our own. Let me just tell you, I'm repeating myself. Yeah, I know what it is. You go back and look and listen to it. You have to listen to a lot of them, and you're going to remember I said this. You can't do a Torah lifestyle without set apart spirit. You can't do it. We don't have to get up and go to get it done. And you can make every feast day and every Shabbat, and you still can't do it because you attended. You have to have set apart spirit inside of you, working and priming and getting you ready, because those engaging moments that happen, you can't buy those moments. They're priceless. Those moments that come because you're led by the set-apart spirit, you're led. And when you're led by His spirit, it's something about that that's unique. In this week's Bullet Bulletin, we learn more of how we, as Self-Part Nation, ought to live and be found to be continually guarding all the commands of Elohim and keep all the feasts of Yehovah as prescribed. Let us therefore take a closer look at the text and learn how we must continue to live set-apart lives and be the Kodeshim, set-apart ones belonging to Yehovah. The Hebrew root word kadosh, strong 6918, which means set apart or consecrated, comes from the primitive root verb kadash, strong 6942, which means to be set apart, consecrated, and dedicated. And that is what we have been called to be, and it's from this root that we get the noun kadash, which is 6944, which means set apartness, consecrated, dedicated, that which is dedicated and separated unto Yehovah. So what's our purpose for being born again? Not to continue to live our lives in the flesh like we always did before. What did that give us? More sin, more trouble. That's not what we got born again for. We got born again to serve Yehovah. And we ought to want to do it with joy. That's why you should never have to push and prod and get people to come to church. You should never have to do that. Just like you should never have to do that to give offering. That's why this is stuff I learned a long time ago. He said, why are you doing that? What's the point in that? Because if they're not giving from their heart, then what good is it? You using it, you spending it, but what good is it? It didn't do a thing for them. You give because when you know he gave it all to you and you can't wait to do it. You can't wait. And that's how you feel about it. So you don't have to be told anything about it. You have to be reminded. A lot of churches spend a lot of time, a lot of their energy is spent probing and pushing the people. You got to give, you got to give, you got to give. Listen, when people understand why they've been born again, that they're set apart and he's given us a new life, a new chance at life, you give him everything. When you talk about singing a song with God, give you my all, you mean that with everything that's in you. And when you talk about having a feast day, you can't wait to get it. If you got something scheduled, you're unscheduled because it's Yehovah's time. Let me tell you, how many times I unscheduled something? I spent my life unscheduling stuff. It's just what happens. You unschedule it because he comes, you want to make sure that it's not for the people you're doing it, you're doing it for him. And the people's going to get the effect. The residual effect's just going to happen. It's part of it. But when you reschedule, you're doing it for him. You're saying to him, Lord, I have a choice I got to make here. And the choice is, I choose doing it for you over anything else. And you can say that as loud as I just said it, or you can keep it to yourself. You understand it either way. Sometimes our ears got to hear for ourselves that we know we made a conscious effort to do what he asked us to do. Very important. And so, when we're talking about being set apart, by set apart spirit, this is power. This is a powerhouse. This stuff will get on you. But I'm going to tell you again, you cannot do the Torah without set apart spirit. You're going to fail. You might think you're doing good because you're doing it with the rest of the group. But it won't take long. It'll be something that's going to get you, and you're going to start lagging behind. You're going to get fatigued because you don't have the power to do it. And so it's just going to seem overbearing. There's so much stuff. I can't do this. And before you know it, you quit and you give up. And we've had folks do that. This is serious. This is serious business. So you know what's the first thing? Once you're born again, that you must seek with everything that's in you, set apart spirit, to be empowered so you have the power from on high. And that's why he told the disciples. What's the first thing he told the disciples? He said, you need to go to Jerusalem. He's about to leave on day 40. He's leaving. Day 40, he's leaving. So when we get to day 40 and counting home, what day 40 represents for us? He ascends. He said, go to Jerusalem, tarry there for 10 days, and the Shavuot came. They needed that. They couldn't start. They couldn't launch. They couldn't do anything until they got that. Because we're talking about a group of people that were discouraged. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know if they were going or coming. And So he opened their eyes for them to see. That the bread of life was walking right next to you, you didn't even know it. And I'm convinced that a lot of people, we have no idea the power that's right next to us. It's right beside us. But unless you engage, set up our spirit, there's no relationship. You have to engage it. You got to be okay to allow the set up our spirit to lead your life that day. It's okay. We know everybody's smart. We know everybody can do stuff. It's not against what you can do. We know we can do stuff. We've been doing stuff all our life. I'm just telling you, if you want to be led by the Spirit, you got to let the Spirit lead. You can't be lead. You got to let the Spirit lead if you want to be led by the Spirit. Folks, say, yeah, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. But when we go somewhere, well, I decide. You got to quit deciding and let the Holy Spirit decide, and you'll find out. Being led by the Spirit means you got to let Him lead. You got to let Him lead some things. And sometimes He leads you in a direction that you had some other plan, and you really wanted it. Your flesh wanted it so bad, you want to do this, but He wasn't leading you there. But you didn't want to let go of it. And so it causes this conflict between you and set apart spirit, and so you're going to go through a dryness. It might be a day, it might be a month, it might be a year. So who dictates the time? Your hardness dictates the time. The moment you melt in His hand and say, Lord, I surrender my life to You, it's right there. Right there, ready to take the lead. Ready to take the lead. So we see that this set of partners looks like this. The coof. This set of coof, which is pictured as a horizon, depicts an element of time as it pictures the sun in its rising and setting. It therefore carries the meaning of circle, or to go around, representing for us both appointed cycles of times as well as eternity, and speaks of the continued adherence to the appointed times. In the Dalit, this letter of the Dalit is pictured as it, which is a tenth door, and also has the meaning of a back and forth movement as one goes back and forth through a tenth door, so to speak, in an excess point. It can also carry the meaning of dangle or hanging, as the tent door would hang from the roof poles of the tent. It speaks a great deal in terms of understanding the door of the tent of appointment as the only means of access. There's so much power in that statement there. That's why I pause, because there's so much power in that. It speaks a great deal in terms of understanding the door of the tent of appointment as the only means of access. There is no other way in. And who's the door?
Yeshua.
He's the only means of access. Listen, folks talk about they're being led by the Spirit, but they won't do anything Yeshua says. That's an oxymoron. That's crazy thinking. That don't make sense.
No.
I don't really have to do what He says, but I'm being led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? It don't make sense to me. He said, how did you say you love me, but you don't do what I tell you? We have to be led by the Spirit means that your life is going to be changed. You're going to be changed, and you're going to yield to Him. You're going to be okay with passing it on to Him, putting it in His hands. You can always tell when a person is struggling. They can struggle with various things, relationships, struggle with money, struggle with home life, kids, you know, things out of control. And they get to a spot where they just burn out. They don't know what to do. And then they're in a spot, they got to make a decision because they've come to an end. And that person generally shows up at church, finds a place in the altar and cries a little bit, gets up, feels refreshed, and goes at it again. Only to come back 6 months later with the same result. Because they're not willing to pass it on. They're not willing to take on being led by the Spirit. They just need a relief. Well, the church is not a hospital. We're an information center. We're giving you the correct information so you can take it on to bring change in your life. And that change is going to come when we recognize our error. And we recognize that we are requested to be set apart people. Because He set apart. We can't call Him our Father when His children look nothing like Him. You ever heard that term? I know he's your son. He's just like you. You can't deny him. You've heard these terms? I want somebody to look at me and say, I know he's Jehovah's son. Amen. I know he's one of them. Just like they did with the disciples of Yeshua. The little girl said, I know he's one of them. He acts just like him. Peter said, not me. He was under pressure. His Savior was just murdered. And he wasn't ready for that. You are one of them. You talk just like y'all. Talk the same talk. I want somebody to say he talks just like you. He's got the same talk. Same speech. Well, my speech, if it's not matching what he's saying, I need to change my speech. If my conduct's not matching Yehovah's conduct, I need to change my conduct. It's just what has to happen. What are we talking about? We have to understand. He said we have to get to be kelosim. We have to make sure that we kadosh. It becomes real to us. We're set apart, consecrated for his work and his work only. Very important. As we also know that Messiah is the door, and we are and we only are able to have access into the kingdom through him. The commands are also to be written on the doorpost, teaching us to remember to guard the commands of Elohim as we go out and come in, so that our going out and coming in is in peace. Thank you, Lord. So again, this is just reminders, right? You add these things, they remind us. It seems like I always get asked about, what's them things hanging on you? You know, it happens all the time when you're fishing. What's that? What's that? What's them trinkets? But listen, these are for us to remember. So when I get up in the morning, I'm getting ready. I got certain things I got to have them right here. I forget them every time. You know how many times I've been passing a Philistack control and coming, hey, you forgot your glasses. Oh man, I gotta have your glasses. I gotta go back. I should have called me. You forgot your wallet. Oh, I need the wallet. My license is there. I gotta go back. Because I might have got home, and instead of setting it where I always set it, I set it in the living room on the couch, the head of the couch. And you know what I do most of the time when I'm sitting there? I hear that skip. No, don't do that. But I'm so tired, I do it anyway.
Yep.
Anybody ever do that? Where you just done it anyway?
Yep.
Well, how many know you're going to affect the effects coming for doing it anyway? And we had, how many times we had that happen in our life? I did it anyway. You know how many times I come, I'm looking, I'm watching them break, and in my mind I said, I can make it. Whoa, I give it to her. And then I stop God. I did it anyway. It's just consequence. When you do it that way, that's what it is. So either you're conducting your life in general, being led by set apart spirit, or you're gonna do it anyway. Either way, you're gonna have an effect. And you're gonna have a result. How many want your results to be things that you can say amen about rather than oh me? Oh my, why did I do that? It's up to us. When I go out of my house, I want to remember these things. So this is part of our memory. It's all this. It means nothing. This is string. Don't get caught up in a string.
Right.
It's for you to remember.
Yeah.
If you want to make a 12-foot, make a 12-foot tile around you. I mean, wrap around you. Do whatever you want. But you get too wrapped up in the string. It's a remembrance. It's for us to remember.
Right.
He's with me, and I'm underneath his rules and his regulations. But as I was going up, I was meditating on this today. I was on my way back home. And I said, Lord, you know, to me it's not rules and regulations. To me it's the Father's instruction.
Right.
It's like a father sitting down with his son and saying, son, listen to me. If you just do what daddy's telling you to do, I'm not going to have to spank you. Do we use the term? I don't know if we use spanking.
Yes.
But anyway, but he's constantly going contrary, and you don't want to because that's your boy. You don't want to, but that's your boy. But you know if you don't do something, He's going to grow up and he'll be out of hand.
Mm.
You ever heard that saying?
Yeah.
They don't do something now, it's going to be too late later on.
That's right.
You got to do something now. And you're going to tell, you can tell them a thousand times, but it's up to mom and dad to do it. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to remind Jehovah. He loves us that much. He sees when we're going in error. He sees when our eyes are being led astray by the lust of the eye. And he's saying, boy. So sometimes he snatches us up and he gives a little shaking to us. And if it changes up, then he says, well, we're good to go. But sometimes we resist God. We resist the Spirit. When we resist the Spirit, you wind up in trouble every time. Not sometimes, every time. Don't resist the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. And I know you. Sometimes you want to do it. I just want to do it. I got to do it. I got to do it. Just like Eve. She had to. She had to. There was no getting around it. And Adam stood there. Okay. If you want to eat, I'll eat with you. We eat together, baby. Me and you, we like this. We together. But if both of them together wind up dead. Because Adam lived for a long time, but he never made 1,000 years. Because God's word is God's word.
Yes.
Then we have the shin. This letter, shin, which is the ancient script, is pictured as two front teeth, carries the meaning of sharp, or press, chew, or devour, which is what the teeth do, and also speaks of the sharp, sharpened word that comes forth from the mouth as teeth chew or meditate on the truth, making what comes forth pure and sharp. It also carries the understanding of consuming or destroying, as teeth do the food. Looking at the rendering of this Hebrew word, kodesh, Strong 6944, in pictograph form, that renders set apartness, or to be set apart, we're able to see that this clearly implies, as we take note, that this word can render for us the following meaning. Continually coming to the door of appointment to meditate on the word. And let me tell you, meditating on the word is not a casual glance. That's not meditating. Thank God you're getting at least something. But that's not meditating. Meditating on the word is you've read over it several times and then you're sitting down without distractions and you're thinking about what you just read. And you're asking yourself, am I doing this? Am I actively involved? Am I engaged in this? Am I engaged in this? Or am I just reading it to have something to read? If you're not engaging in the text, then you're just reading it to read it. Sometimes I read a book just to read it. But when I engage myself in the book, I'm making notes. I'm highlighting stuff. I'm engaged in it. I'm highlighting. I'm going through it. And so one of the things I've learned as a teacher of the scripture is I meditate on the word when I study. I might go back over 2-3 times. Because I'm meditating on what I just read. Am I engaged in this? Is this happening? What can I tell people about this? How can I explain it in a practical sense? I can read it from the text, but how can I explain to them? What can I use to help them get what they're feeling, what they're seeing, what they're reading? Very important. Continually coming to the door of appointment to meditate on the word. What did he say in Psalms? We don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We don't sit in the seat of the scornful. We don't do none of those things. But we meditate on the what? The word, day and night. We'll be like trees planted by the rivers of waters, who yields its fruit in the season. Sometimes we miss our season because we didn't meditate on the word. Seasons come and go. We seem like we're a day late and a dollar short. We missed it. How did I miss that? You ever ask that question? I asked that God. How did I miss it? I don't want to miss anything. If you got it for me and I missed it, it's not your fault. You had it for me. I missed it because I was not where I should have been at the time.
Yeah.
I was not aligned with your word. Right. You align yourself with God's word, you won't miss those important appointments. When you align with the word of God, you make Passover, period. When you align with the word of God, you're practicing unleavened bread. You're recognizing that, Lord, I got to work on me. I got some things that I got to make sure that I'm clearing up here. And when you align with the word of God, you make first fruits. When you align with the word of God, you'll be at Sukkot. When you align with the word of God, you'll be celebrating Yom Teruah. When you align with the word of God, Yom Kippur is high on your list as the most holy day the year. When you're aligned in God's word, you're going to make sure that you're getting yourself ready to Sukkot with him. And you can't wait for the last great, wonderful day that you're going to spend with him for eternity. Very important. You're aligned in the word of God. This is not something that catches you by surprise. There should be no shock for nobody in our church anymore. The days of shock is over. You've been shocked. Trust me, I know you've been shocked. I've been shocked. You ain't been through nothing I ain't been through. I was so shocked I didn't know what to do with myself. But I know one thing. God says you either going to sail or you go fishing. You're going to be a fisherman. That's all you're going to be. And I had to make a decision. Well, I thank God I decided to take the chance, take the risk. Because it's liberated my life. Made me see that there was so much on the table that we were leaving, and we didn't realize the wonderful work that Yeshua did for all of us. We know that God, we know he forgave us of our sins, but we wasn't living our best life understanding the fact that we are redeemed. Yes. We're the blood of our church, and we're set apart. And we can have, listen, so many times we think, well, I can't do that, because then I'll miss this. Tell me what you're going to miss that's more important than being set apart. What you going to miss? That's why he's doing it, because he knew you was locked into this. You ain't going to miss anything. You won't miss anything when you follow him. Nothing. And I know that's when we feel like term that they use on texting? FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Yep. So people suffer from that. They think, well, if I get locked in the church and really get in, I'll miss this over here. You got to decide. You want him or you want the other stuff? You can't have both of them. You go to him and then let him build around you a community of people that are, when they say they love you, they mean it. When they say they're for you, they actually are. When they say they'll pray for you, they actually will. That's what God will build around you. He'll build around that type of people. That's what I was doing this morning. When I was praying going out, I was thanking God for the people of our church. They're faithful to you. And I pray, God, you're blessed. This year, during these feast days, they haven't seen anything what you're going to do for them. You can't give up anything from the world standpoint that God won't reward you over and over and over and over again. The Lord has done that with my life. He said, son, if you do what I'm telling you, I'll bless you beyond your understanding. You won't even understand where it's coming from. I'll do it for you. You just trust me. Let me do it. Because on my own, the enemy said, you can do this. You can go out and do this yourself. Maybe you're right. Maybe you have that charisma. You can go out and make contact, shake hands with people. You can be that God. But when you're that God, that's all you got. That's all you are, that God. I don't want to be that God. I want to be his child. I want to be a child of the Most High. That reverend, I don't care if everything falls around you, he'll lift you up. And that's what he's the master at. It. But he's asking us, you got to live this out. You got to continually come to the door of appointment to meditate on the word. We don't just come to eat, do we? That's not what the feast days are for. We get to eat a lot. It's not what it's for. We meditate on the word. We share with each other what's happening. What's the interactions we're having in our life? We share with each other. Our ability to properly set apart involves our ability to properly meditate on the word. On a daily basis, as well as making sure that we do not neglect the set apart appointed times that are good commanded at set apart gatherings, which are all the appointed times of Yehovah, as outlined in instructions in Leviticus 23, which include the weekly Shabbat. Very important, because it includes that. Now, he's going to directly talk about that in this full portion about Shabbat. It's directly talked about.
Right.
And so, very important section there. I want to do the whole thing. So when I'm studying this, I've been through the whole thing, so I want to say stuff out of order that I laid out. So I gotta control myself. The word for self-partners in the Greek is hagiaphmos, Strong's G38, which means consecration sanctified. In English, to consecrate means to make or declare to be set apart and be devoted to a purpose with the deepest irrevocable dedication. We as a chosen, set apart, and royal priesthood unto Elohim declare and make our lives solely devoted to the purpose of serving and worshiping Yehovah our Elohim. It's nothing like when you get up in the morning, your sole purpose for that day is not to make sure you maintain your friend status on Facebook. It's not, and you're not ashamed that somebody un-FaceTime you, whatever that goes on Facebook. Unfriended. They unfriend you. And it's not somebody got mad at you. You wake up in the morning, you have a brand new start. You just was basically in an unconscious state being protected by Jehovah.
Right.
And then you woke up again. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
My sole purpose is to give you glory and praise and do my best to make sure I live a set apart life.
Amen.
If you'll get that, live that with everything's in you, you'll find out that you'll be a better person to everybody around you. I don't care how bad they are.
Right.
It doesn't make a difference. They don't dictate how you're going to conduct your life. Because some people can say the most ugliest things, and it'll ruin your day. But if your sole purpose is to give him praise, you don't let that bother you. You might say, well, you don't know. It's just hard for me. It's going to continue to be hard for you because you're locked in what people think about you and what they say about you. That's all you're thinking about. You didn't think about that. Your sole purpose for being alive and having a fresh start is to give him praise, honor, and glory. And you're going to live a set-apart life. Remember, what's our stand this week? Learning to live the unleavened lifestyle. That was our stand, our whole week. Learning to live the unleavened lifestyle. We got to learn this thing. We're not born into it. We know how to sin. That's a given. But we don't know how to live the unleavened lifestyle until the Torah teaches us how to do that. And now he's telling us about the self-partners. Isn't that wonderful? And as we have certainly learned from the Torah portions of drawing near to Elohim, we can only do so by the blood of Messiah. And as we are continually being set apart in him through an ongoing process of being sanctified as a people for possession. Now this sanctification, these are things that I question when I was a young minister. I'm coming up and I come across justification, sanctification. And justification, I got it pretty good. But the sanctification, I'm trying to figure out, when is it going to happen? When is your life going to be good enough to be in his presence forever? And I come to realize there's a lot of stuff I needed to know before I can even start to take root in my life. I had the platform. I was brought through the door being justified just as if I had not sinned by the blood of Yeshua. Thank God for that. At least I'm in the house. But then I stay in the house. What's going to be odd when he's got things different? It's like going to somebody. You walk in the house and they do things different than your house. You look around for 5 minutes, you go, okay, my house don't look nothing like this. But my house, I take my shoes off where I want. My wife puts them all in one spot. And then one day she put them up. I come and say, where my shoes at? My boots, you know, my work boots. I don't bring them upstairs in my room. Only my dress clothes and my dress shoes and my stuff I go places with up there. So we got like a mud area we walk in. She put them in the closet. I couldn't find them. She said, I picked them up. I said, well, I need them. Every day I need them. She said, well, they're in there. I like them right here. She said, now I got to go in there. She said, well, you better go in there. She changed the rules on me. When you go in the Yehovah's house, you're not going to be used to what you got to do. You've been doing things the way you want to do it all your life. That's how it's been. He's going to have instructions. The father's going to have instructions. Now listen, the prodigal came back home and he went out and showed his love and compassion for the son who did what he wanted to do. Give him my inheritance, and he spent on righteous living, doing whatever he wanted to do. Wound up in a pig pen in the lowest part of his life. He wound up eating slop with pigs. But when he got to come home, the father engaged him, loved him, put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, and shoes on his feet. He had nothing. Remember, he had no ring. His signet ring was lost. He sold it, pawned it, whatever he did with it. His robe, he had no clothes. He had no covering. So he's walking around in his underclothes. Get this condition. No shoes on his feet. This guy was in bad shape. We all were there. All of us were there. The world stripped us of everything and didn't even care. You think the devil cared about you when you was out there hurting? When you was out there about to lose your family, you was losing valuable time. You think he was caring about it? He could care less about that. All he wants to see you is dead. But Jehovah cared. And so he invited us back. He puts the stuff. Now he puts a ring on our finger, means that we're back in the family. Signet ring means you can do stuff. You have the signet ring, the family heirloom there on your hand. Robe on your back, shoes on your feet. Now you're conducting yourself as a son. He goes back into the house. There's rules. Could he go in there and live like he lived in the pig pen? No. I mean, common sense, right? This is common sense. You can't, your father keeping this house, he's keeping his structure. You can't just come in there and do whatever you want. There's different things that happen that are different. That's how we have to think. When we come before Yehovah, we enter into his place. And can we just go in anyway? He told us, look at the sons of Aaron. Don't do what they did. And he said, hey, pay attention. Moshe, pay attention. Get Aaron and tell him, don't forget what happened to your boys. Now you get a chance to come in here, but I'll explain it to you from Yom Kippur standpoint. He brought him to the most holy setting that's known to the Israelites around Passover. He's trying to give us a picture so we can see that what Yeshua did for us. When we come here tomorrow morning and Sunday morning, when we come here, we want to be postured and we want to give him the utmost praise that we can. Listen, if you have it, when they sing a song, you kind of, you're looking at the words like, I don't know what this is. You know, you're enthused. The enthusiasm is more than I can take sometimes. And I don't know how they do it. Get more enthused than this. I mean, if you haven't shout, just try one shout. If you haven't picked one foot up before, just do this. We won't laugh, probably will, but do one at a time. But do something you've never done. People want God just to, it wants to be flashes of lightning, but you gotta be willing to step in to the house and do something you've never done. You gotta engage. When you engage set apart spirit, he will lead you. He will guide you. It'll be amazing. Absolutely amazing. So we have to learn to do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. For this is the desire of Elohim, your set apartness. I mean, this is New Testament stuff here. Your set apartness, that's the desire of Elohim. Yeah, it's his desire. That you should abstain from whoring. That's some strong language, isn't it? But when a wife fools around on her husband, that's whoring. Or when a husband fools around on his wife, that's whoring. We don't like to call it that. We like to call it a mistake. It's a mistake. I made a mistake. No mistake.
You're whoring.
You've been whoring. That's what the scripture says. And when you fool around on Yehovah, he calls that whoring. Because we're supposed to be a ready bride, a bride gets set apart. When this special day comes, you're talking about getting yourself together. You're getting everything together. You're preparing as a ready bride for him to come and receive us. We don't want to be found whoring. So he says, Elohim desires your set apartness. Abstain from whoring. It's all in the same quote there. Think about that. Verse 4. That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in set apartness. So this is not a group thing. Thank God we're doing it together. There was nothing to me more precious on Passover night when I looked across the table and I seen everybody saying, you know, I'm here because I love you. Yeah. And there's just something about it. You can't plan that. Everybody was here because they loved him. And he'll honor that. And he's going to continue to honor that. You ought to be expecting miracles and good reports and praise reports every day. That's what he's doing. We got to learn how to possess our own body instead of partners. Each one of us. So can you imagine if you're not dependent on the pastor? You're not dependent. Why are you dependent? I'm dependent on my husband. Well, maybe your husband needs a little boot. And you say, you know what? I'm going to possess that apartment. Whether you do it or not, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And now sometimes we'll get that get up and go going. Because sometimes our get up and go gets a little slack. And sometimes we need a little swift kick in the behind and we'll get going a little bit. We're talking about what God says is that each one should know how to possess his own vessel in set apartments. And respect. Because it's respectful when you go into God's house and you're not doing the stuff that he don't like. You're being respectful. There's nothing that's more degrading to a person who works hard all their life to keep their stuff and you borrow it, break it, and don't care. That's no respect at all. You break it, you get it. I was always taught that that's if you get something, you use it, and you break it, you just borrow it and get another one. That's just how it is. What's going to cost me? Well, that's just the way it goes. But be a man of your word and do what's right. Every time, let me tell you, it's never been a time that I conducted myself in that fashion that God didn't reward me because that's how you do for your neighbors. And this is later on. I can't help it, but I just slipped up. Not bad. Not in passions of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know Elohim. Not to overstep and take advantage of his brother in this matter, because the Master is the revenger of all such, as we indeed said to you before in earnest warning. For Elohim did not call us into uncleanness, but in set apartments. He didn't get the prodigal son a ring and a robe and shoes to come and live like he's living in a pig pen in his father's house. I didn't call you and get you out of that mess to get you back in uncleanness. I get you right here for a set of apartments. Now you got house rules. You got the father's instructions. Son, I don't want you to go through what you just went through. Do you know what the son there? He's humbling himself. He can't believe that his father accepted him, and he shouldn't have. He knew he shouldn't, but he did. Remember what he said was his word when he's in the pig pen. My father has high service living better than I'm living. I'm not even living at that caliber. Because he gave up on himself. And he hoarded amongst the people, and he did everything, right as living. But then he had a change of heart. And let me tell you, it's not jumping through hoops. Having feast days and doing all this stuff, it's not jumping through hoops. We're talking about a change of heart. You had a change of heart. And you recognize something. In order for me to be pleasing to Yehovah, I got to have a change of heart. I got to realize that he set apart, I should live a set apart life. These are the things he likes, that's the things I like. These are the things he hates, that's the things I hate. This is not hard stuff. This is easy stuff. If he dislikes it, why would I keep doing it? He dislikes it. Being set apart requires the ability of being a people who judge themselves according to Yehovah's standard, and are able to rightly discern between the clean and the unclean, the set apart and the common. And our ability in being ready to hear from Yehovah, we must recognize that our minds must be continually renewed as we set things apart in our minds as well. No longer being conformed to the standards of the world, for we are now required to live according to the highest standards. That is Yehovah's clear standards for his set apart ones, his kenesim. Think about that. His kenesim, we're set apart. So you remember we talked about this coach kind of went around and said, they said, why you don't do this? He said, because I have standards. If you don't set a standard in your life, you're going to fall for anything. You're going to be a jellyfish. You're just rolling whatever's around you. You have no standard whatsoever. Listen, you have to set some standards in your life. There's a time when you know you got to be somewhere, you set a standard in your life. There's a cutoff time. I don't care what's going on, I'm out of here. Bye. Because you got to be somewhere. And it's required of you to be there. Set those standards, and it'll be good habits for you. Very good habits. So if it's on a Friday evening, and you know you got Shabbat that evening, and you sometimes, if I get in late, the boat can wait.
Amen. That's right.
It's been dirty before. Just because it's dirty, one more day ain't going to hurt it. I'll wash it later, but I'm going. I'm not going to let that be my excuse. Because I had to wash my boat. That's why I just couldn't make it. I was tired. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? No standard.
No standard.
You got to set a standard, and you got to say, you know what? I'm going to get to it, but I run late. I'm going to get to it.
That's right.
Then you go down, you get it on Sunday or Monday, whatever day it is.
Amen.
You say, well, I got to work from Sunday. I got to get a trip. I get up early.
Get up early.
Go clean your boat before the trip.
That's right.
I've done it many times.
Amen.
Set a standard. But God seems like he's the one that's always got to be the one that don't get your full attention. God, you should understand, I'm busy. Somehow he's the one that's got to take you. He's the one, you get yourself in those positions, and somehow God's the one that's got to take the slack for us. Shouldn't be that way. Standards, set standards, and you'll see that there's blessings that come with that. Those who refuse to judge themselves or be judged by the word can, by definition, never be set apart. Because in your mind, you ain't did nothing wrong, and nobody can tell me I did wrong. Okay. Let me tell you what brings conviction to me every time I read the word. Every time. Not sometimes. Every time. And I realize I got to change that. I got to change that. If I don't change that, if I keep telling myself I don't need to change that, then I'm not letting the word be effective in my life. Therefore, there's no set apartness. Set apartness is not something that just comes and you just get it on you and there it is. Set apartness is because God tested your willingness to be judged by his word, and you accepted that in humility and repentance, and you let it work in your life, and that set apartness comes. You was okay with it. You didn't mind to be slapped on the hand. When you get your hands in something you're not supposed to be in, you get a little slap on the hand. When you get slapped on the hand, you take offense to it, it did no good. I'm ready to fight. Somebody do me that. Well, go ahead and fight with God. See how that goes. It's okay. If the hand got, listen, I had my hand slapped a few times. My mom and dad probably never slapped my hand, but mama slapped it right now. Bow! You grab it for something you're not supposed to grab for. Well, I figured out. If I want to keep getting the hand slapped, I keep grabbing. Keep on grabbing, big boy. Go ahead. But you know what? You realize that I'm not in charge. The rules have been set. I can't touch that right now. It's not time. And you got smack for it. That's okay. Well, sometimes that's what's going to happen when you get hooked up. You're going to get smack for it. And you're going to realize I can't keep doing that. I've been lying to myself all this time. I got to cool it. I got to recognize my errors and be judged by the word. The word will judge you. It will judge you. Now, this is how you take offense. Well, Pastor said. Now it's not God's remorse. What Pastor said. You took it personally. I'm reading the scripture to you. I'm reading the text to you. But you think I'm the one that said it to you. And so people get all worked up about what Pastor said. What about what Jehovah said? You've never heard people go around and say, well, Jehovah said. That's why I'm doing it. It's always, I'm already a new CD. I better stop them. Mine said only 37 minutes. That was a short night. I think I started over though. When it went off. All right, I'll read this last one. He came in his dream to call unto himself his bride and destroyed all the false mighty ones before her face and delivered her and took her into the wilderness to speak his commitment of love to her. That's what he did. So this will start. They're going to get a fresh start right off the bat, chapter 19 in the morning. Good at it. I didn't do nothing. I tell you what. God is good. But this set of partners is such a valuable tool for us because he's requiring of us to conduct ourselves in the way, so that is important, that says that we're his. Should it look like you're his? So set apartness, keeping Shabbat set apartness. It's keeping his feast day set apartness. is eating what's correct at a party. Yeah. So you feel a little odd. It's okay. You don't act like you ain't been odd before. You've been odd all your life. It's all right. Some of you, from the time you joined your family, you've been odd. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. But listen, we're talking about the difference. Now, this is what he said. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. What kind of mind he had? He had a set-apart mind. He had the mind of the Father. He didn't even think his own thoughts. You don't think he was locked in? Yeshua didn't even think his own thoughts. Every time a thought that he was thinking come up, he submitted it to Jehovah. I said, no, you're not thinking that. You're going to do what he tells you. He didn't speak his own words. He didn't speak his own words. Can you imagine that? When he's going to speak, he said, I wanted to speak the words of the Father. That's it. I didn't come to tell stories about myself. I come to tell you what Jehovah said. That's what made Yeshua so unique. And what's going to make you and I unique is going to let that mind that he had be in us. Remember, set-apartness don't take effect until you yield to the set-apart spirit. You want to be led by the Spirit? You got to let it lead. You can't lead. It's just the way it is. You ever try to follow two people at the same time? See how that works out for you. Especially if one turns right and the other one turns left. And here you come. I'm following both of them. Okay. I want to show you they ain't going to last long. You about to have to decide something. And that's what people want to do. They want to serve the world and serve Jehovah. They see the joy in your life. They see that God is doing something. They see the hand of God on your life. Every time you turn around, the Lord is blessing you. Something's happening. They see it. They're not ready for it. They're trying to follow two things. Does God like mixture? He hates it. He hates mixture. So he uses these little things to tell us, don't do that. Do that. That's not what I like. And so hopefully this has helped you kind of get your mind wrapped around where this Kedoshim is going. But in the morning, Pastor Josh will take you from there. We're going to have a wonderful time in the morning. Amen.